So this morning, Naomi, we just pray for you. We pray that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit as you speak. And although you've got all these notes, because you've prepared so well, Lord, we pray that if there's anything that you want to say, if there's anything that you want to press home this morning, that Naomi will be sensitive to your spirit and even leave her notes behind. Lord, we pray for your courage as she speaks this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome. Those that are perched on the back, there are some spare seats around. If you want a more comfortable chair, feel free to move forward. They're not more comfortable. Okay, sorry. Probably more comfortable than a bench, but... So, this morning I am continuing our series looking at Who is Jesus? Looking at different aspects of his character. And we've been doing that by looking at what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit and how Jesus demonstrated those in his life. And we've been doing that through a book, this book here, The Character of Christ, which some of us are also following along in our Connect groups. So just a recap on what the fruit of the Spirit are, because it's a strange term if it's something that you're not familiar with. The fruit of the Spirit are attributes or character traits that God grows in us as we follow him. They're called fruit because they grow and develop in us as fruit grows. And this growth happens through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the part of God that comes to live in us when we choose to follow him. And the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, which is in the New Testament of the Bible, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as Jesus was God in person, the third part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, he perfectly demonstrated the fruits of the Spirit in his life. So there's no better person to look at than Jesus if we want to fully understand what God is like. We are told in Colossians 1, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So far we've looked at love, joy, peace and patience. And so if you missed any of those talks, they're all available on the website. I recommend you go and have a listen to them. And so today we're looking at number 5, which is kindness. So what exactly does kindness mean? I did a quick Google search and this is what I found. Be kind is a phrase that's used a lot in our culture today. You don't have to look very far on social media to see memes encouraging us to be kind. But it's almost used such a lot that it's kind of lost its meaning a little bit or become a bit watered down. So then I looked in the dictionary, and this is what the dictionary says. The quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate, or the quality of being gentle, caring, and helpful. And these are obviously all good things to be, aren't they? But I think that the Bible has far more to say to us about what it is to show kindness than just being helpful and friendly. I thought it was interesting, actually, that neither of these definitions of kindness mention love. And yet the Bible shows that love and kindness are intrinsically linked. In fact, the Hebrew word, hesed, which is used in the Bible in most of the verses that talk about kindness, actually doesn't translate to a single English word easily. We just don't have the word for it because the Hebrew language is so much more vast than the English language. And it actually has a far deeper meaning than kindness. And kindness is the closest that we can get to it in English. But the same word, hesed, is also translated elsewhere in the Bible to mean loving kindness, steadfast love, faithfulness, mercy, and grace. So you can see it's a rich word. It's a rich word, and it means so much more than just being nice, doesn't it? Kindness is the outworking of love. Kindness is the outworking of love. And we're told this clearly in the very famous verses about love that we read about in 1 Corinthians. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. And these verses go on to list a lot of things that love is and love isn't. But it's so clear, isn't it, from these verses that love and kindness go hand in hand. You can't show true kindness without love. and love manifests itself in kindness. And the world will tell us that we can do good acts for people and just to be kind. It makes it sound quite easy, doesn't it? Be kind. Hold a door open for someone. Give up your seat on the bus. Share your last Rolo. Put your neighbour's bin out. These are good things to do, aren't they? All of them. But Jesus shows us something so much deeper. The kindness that he displayed revealed his infinite, immeasurable love for us. And it's only when we begin to grasp this that we can show this same kindness to the world around us. Jesus is kindness in human form. I love the title in the book that I showed you that we're reading. This chapter is called When Kindness Appeared. When Kindness Appeared. And it's taken from some verses in Titus which say this. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we'd done, but because of his mercy. Kindness appeared when Jesus came to earth. We see many examples of God's kindness in the Old Testament, but this is personified in Jesus. As the book says, he never once did anything out of selfish ambition. He never manipulated others. He was always seeking their welfare. So let's look a little bit more closely at where we see this in Jesus' life. There are so many examples of Jesus' kindness in the New Testament that it's really hard to pick some out. So I'm going to go with the three that the author of the book chose. So the first one is kindness in feeding. The famous miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 shows us Jesus' kindness through his willingness to meet the physical and spiritual needs of the crowd, despite his own need for rest. And this is the only miracle, I think, that appears in all four gospel accounts. And it tells us that Jesus was really tired. He got on a boat and went to the other side of the lake because he'd kind of had enough of the crowds. He wanted to get away. He's also just had the awful news that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been murdered. And he really needs some time alone with his disciples who've just got back from being sent out. And they need some time alone. He needs some time to grieve. He needs some time to process what's happened. And so he heads across the lake. But when he gets there, the crowd have run around and are there waiting for him. And so we read, and he, Jesus, had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So despite his own physical need for rest and to spend some time with his friends, he teaches them. And as the day goes on, he recognizes that they're getting hungry. They need some food, some physical food. And so he performs the miracle that we probably all know so well. He feeds them from the loaves and the fishes. He wants to demonstrate God's love for them. He has a choice. He doesn't stop to try and work out whether they deserve it or not. He's driven by kindness and a personal cost of sacrifice and time and energy for him to show this kindness. Kindness often requires sacrifice, doesn't it? When I was researching for this talk, I came across this quote, which was in quite a few different places and was attributed to several different people, so I don't exactly know who it was from, but it said this: be a little kinder than you have to. Really? Is that true kindness? Be a little kinder than you have to. Essentially, do a bit more than the bare minimum. Jesus totally blows this out of the water, doesn't he? He doesn't have to be kind at all. He's God, after all. He doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe the people anything. But he chooses to demonstrate his love and compassion through his kindness in serving and feeding the crowds. There is no limit on his kindness. Not long ago, we were in Leeds to see a show, and as we'd been with the boys and we were walking through Leeds and we'd seen a number of homeless people, which living where we do here, we don't see a lot here. And so the boys always find it a little bit sort of distressing and they want to help. And so on our way back to catch the train after the show, it was quite late. And there was a guy right by the station begging. And so we stopped and offered to get him some food. And he asked for a chicken burger and a cup of tea. And we thought that's good because there's McDonald's right inside the station. So we'll just nip in and get that and job done. So we go into McDonald's, and this is about sort of 9:30 at night on a Saturday night, and it is absolutely rammed. I mean, like, queuing out of the door rammed. So I'm already feeling a little bit stressed at this point because our train is leaving in less than 10 minutes, And so I say to, there's no way that we're going to get his food and get it back to him in time. So I say to Viv, well, just pay for the food on the fancy machine thing, get the voucher that prints out the receipt, and go back and give that to the man and say, we've paid for your food, but you'll need to go and collect it, okay? But the machine is out of paper, so there's no receipt. So I'm standing there getting more and more stressed about our train, feeling frustrated that we're going to be late. The boys are tired. It's really late. Church is the next day. We need to get home. At this point, you know, they have the, you might not, I don't know if you go to McDonald's, we don't go very often, but there's boards on the screens and it says, you know, order being processed and orders ready to collect. Our order number is not even on the screens at this point at all, okay? Train's 8 minutes away, okay? And I'm getting more and more stressed, increasingly stressed. So Viv says, it's okay, you and the boys, you go get the train, I'll wait for the food. If I have to get the next train, that's what's happening. So me and the boys are running through the station, praying furiously that this will somehow work out. Miraculously, without our number ever appearing on the boards, the food appears for Viv. He takes it to the man. He's very grateful. Viv runs, gets the train. All good. Okay. Now, in that moment, I was willing to show kindness, but only if it didn't inconvenience me or disrupt my plans. I was feeling resentful of the situation. And actually, afterwards, I had to repent of that heart attitude. Showing true kindness often requires sacrifice, doesn't it? And Jesus shows this time and time again in the Bible. The second thing we're going to look at is how Jesus shows kindness is kindness in healing. There are many stories, aren't there, in the Gospels that show Jesus' kindness in healing. But we're going to briefly look at one of them, the healing of the leper. And we're actually going to watch a clip from The Chosen, which is quite powerful. So thank you, Agnes.
Not to spoil this beautiful day or anything, huh? Come on.
He's a leper. Stay back.
Cover your mouth. Don't breathe his air.
Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John. It's okay.
Rabbi,
you cannot get disease.
Please. Please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you can do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
I am willing. Be cleansed.
I knew it. What can I ever do?
No. Do not say anything to anyone.
You don't seek your own honor?
Please just do me this one thing.
But what do I tell people?
Go. Show yourself to the priest. Let them inspect you and see that you are cleansed. Make the proper offering in the temple as Moses commanded. And go on your way.
Who has an extra tunic?
Just one of you. That's enough. Green is definitely your color. Not too shabby.
It's good, isn't it? I don't know if you've watched The Chosen. I'd really recommend it. We're working through it with the boys, and it just really shows Jesus' humanity. And obviously, a lot of these stories in the Bible are told very briefly, and so it's sometimes hard to grasp, you know, what it might have looked like. Obviously, it's an interpretation of the text. You can't necessarily take it literally, but it really does help us to feel the feelings of the moment, I think, in a way that sometimes it's harder to get when you're reading, you know, the short text in the Bible. And I love the contrast that's shown between Jesus' response to the man and the disciples' response at the start. They're immediately on guard. They want to protect themselves, which is understandable. Leprosy was a horrible disease. There's no cure. Lepers in Bible times had to carry a bell and shout, unclean, unclean, as they went through the streets whenever they were near people so that nobody would touch them, nobody would catch it. Not only was it painful and humiliating and isolating, but it made you spiritually unclean. So they couldn't go to the temple where God was. They couldn't go and make sacrifices. They were cut off, not just from society, but essentially from God as well. But here we see Jesus' kindness demonstrated so clearly. As we read this story in the Bible, in Matthew 8, it says, "Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. 'Lord,' the man said, 'if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean.' Jesus reached out and touched him. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be healed.' And instantly, the leprosy disappeared." Nobody will have touched this man for a very long time. Even if you didn't catch it yourself, touching somebody with leprosy made you spiritually unclean. And so why would you? Why would you go near them? But Jesus, in his kindness, reaches out and touches the man. Even without the miracle, that is kindness, isn't it? That is kindness. But he also heals him. Note that Jesus says, "I am willing." Jesus wants to heal this man. As the book says, we can do things on the surface that seem kind, but if they're motivated by begrudging obligation on the inside, like my story, they're not produced by the Holy Spirit. Real kindness wills. Showing kindness to those we love, or our friends or our family, is relatively easy, isn't it? But Jesus shows us here what it is to go beyond what is comfortable for us. And in Jesus' teaching, he tells us, love your neighbor as yourself. And he goes on to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan, which demonstrates kindness to strangers, doesn't it? People outside of our immediate circle. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes even further beyond love your neighbor to love your enemies. That's a challenge, isn't it? How do we show kindness to our enemies? Over the centuries, there's been many plagues hit the UK, and it's often been the Christians who stayed behind to care for the sick and the dying, leading to their own illness and death in many cases. And in 249 AD, amongst severe persecution of the early church by the largely pagan society, a deadly plague hit the city of Caesarea, which is in modern-day Israel. Most of the population began fleeing the city for the safety of the countryside. However, in the midst of the fleeing inhabitants, at least one group was staying behind, the Christians. A bishop of the city and a historian of the early church, Eusebius, don't know if I'm saying that right, recorded that during the plague, all day long, some of them, the Christians, tended to the dying and to their burial, countless numbers with no one to care for them. Others gathered together from all parts of the city, a multitude of those withered from famine, and distributed bread to them all. These Christians tended not only their fellow Christians, but actually those who were persecuting them, the pagans in society around them, and even though they risked their own health and lives to do so. Who are we willing to show kindness to? Is there a limit? Does our kindness stretch beyond our immediate circle to people who annoy us, to strangers, to people who have different worldviews to us or a different lifestyle to us? The Bible shows us time and time again that Jesus' kindness knew no limits. And this leads us nicely to the last example of Jesus' kindness from the book. Kindness in forgiving. And Stu, who spoke last time, spoke about patience and spoke quite a lot about forgiveness in forbearing and forgiving with each other. So if you missed that one, I would recommend to have a listen to that talk. But let's just look for a moment at Jesus and the extreme example we see of him demonstrating kindness in his worst moment. In Luke, this is when Jesus has been arrested and is being crucified. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." These verses, probably more than any other in the Bible, show us the extent of Jesus' kindness and his love. He's been abandoned by his friends, he's been betrayed, he's been mocked, he's been beaten, and he's been nailed to a cross. If anyone had a right to be angry in that moment, it was him. But instead, he shows outrageous kindness and grace to those crucifying him. We've also been shown this same outrageous grace and kindness, haven't we? We're told, God demonstrated his own love for us in this. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Whilst we were still in a place of rejecting Jesus, he died for us. Whilst we were still choosing our own way of living, he died for us. Before we were sorry, he died for us. There is no greater kindness than that. These examples we've looked at show us ways that Jesus demonstrated kindness to us, and that must be where we begin. It's only when we can grasp the undeserving kindness that we've experienced through Jesus that we can find the spiritual fuel necessary to show this same kindness to others. But for what purpose other than to be nice? Well, firstly, because that's what we're told to do. In Colossians 3, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Note that we start with holy and dearly loved. It's because we are loved because of God's love and kindness for us that we can then do these things, show these things to others. We're given this as an instruction, but it's not just to be nice. As the book says, showing people kindness shows people Christ. Showing people kindness shows people Christ. And kindness is one of the most powerful tools that we have in drawing people to Jesus and showing them what he is like. In the story that I shared before about the plague and the Christians caring for the people there, there was an outcome that went beyond the immediate caring for the sick. So obviously that was a positive thing. They were helping people. But actually, in those communities where they stayed behind, it was recognized that while the pagan priests overlooked and abandoned the poor and the sick, everyone was talking about the kindness of the Christians and compassion that they showed. And it's recorded that people glorified the God of the Christians. And a few decades later, the last pagan emperor, Julian, recognized that the impact of this was that the Christianity spread rapidly across that region, across the empire, that moment of kindness and compassion, that had a knock-on effect. People became Christians, people turned to Jesus because of the kindness that they had been shown. In fact, to the point where the pagan emperor proposed that pagan priests should imitate the Christians' charity in order to bring about a revival of paganism to counteract the spread of Christianity. But this failed. It failed because they were driven by obligation and not by love. They couldn't keep it up. They weren't fueled by a spirit of kindness like we are, if we know Jesus. English theologian and hymn writer Frederick Faber said, "Kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning." And Mother Teresa famously said, "Be the living expression of God's kindness." This is exactly what Jesus did, isn't it? And it's what we're called to as well. Besides showing kindness with our words and actions, one of the kindest things we can do to people is introduce them to Jesus. We have good news to share, don't we? Life-changing, hope-bringing news. Why would we keep that to ourselves? And we can show kindness to people in many, many ways. But if we don't give them a chance to experience Jesus and life with him, the source of our peace, the source of our freedom, the source of our forgiveness, then we're actually withholding the best thing that we have to offer them. Being intentional about sharing Jesus with people, despite maybe feeling awkward or embarrassed about it, is an act of kindness and love. I don't know if you remember last year, there was a guy called Dave Horsfall, who's the director of Leeds School of Theology, came to speak to us, and he shared about someone in his church who invited their next-door neighbour to come and read the Bible with her. She felt really awkward about asking her, but to her surprise, her neighbour agreed and ended up coming to church, came to faith and was baptised. Dave said, "The kingdom of God is built on awkward conversations." It stuck with me, that. The kingdom of God is built on awkward conversations. However awkward we may feel in that moment, it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth that awkwardness to share Jesus with people. And when we consider the depths that Jesus was willing to go to demonstrate his kindness to us, to take him to the cross, to give up his place in heaven, to suffer in that way, what he asks of us in return in some ways feels quite minor, doesn't it? To share the good news with other people. But it is hard to do. It's hard to do. We all find it hard to do, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. As we looked at before, showing kindness often requires sacrifice. And sharing Jesus can be a sacrifice of our own comfort to step out and do it. A sacrifice of our dignity as we might worry about what people might think. Or a sacrifice of our time as we invest in relationships with people who don't know him. Sharing Jesus with people is an act of kindness, probably the most kindness that we can show. So, we've considered what kindness is. It's an outworking of love. Jesus was kindness in human form, and he demonstrated this kindness that goes beyond a good deed, beyond being helpful or friendly. It's a heart response to people, whether they deserve it or not. Kindness often requires sacrifice, but when we show kindness to people, we show them Jesus. Maybe for some of you this morning, this is the first time you've considered Jesus' kindness to you, demonstrated on the cross. And today might be the time when you say thank you to Jesus for his sacrifice and love for you, and sorry for where you've been living your life without him. He wants to pour out his loving kindness on you today. Maybe for some of us there's a moment of repentance here for where we've placed limits on the reach of our kindness, or where we've put our own selfish desires before the needs of others, like in the story that I shared with the man in Leeds. We can pray for God to transform our hearts into hearts that are full of kindness and compassion for the people that we maybe find it hard to love. Or for other of us, maybe we're really good at the good deeds and the kind deeds, but we stop short of sharing the gospel with people, maybe because of fear or embarrassment. Today we can pray for boldness. We can pray for God to stir up the desire to share his kindness with people by sharing the good news of Jesus with them. Some of us use the Lectio app, which is like a daily devotional based on the Bible. It prays the Bible each day. It's a great little resource if you haven't come across it. It's about 10 minutes in the morning and in the evening. And the morning one ends each daily reflection with a prayer that I find is a great way to start the day. So I'm just going to pray that over us now as we finish. Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say.